Hi everyone, this is Sandy Leyva and welcome back to Practice Management Toolbox. This is the third session. We're going to have probably the most powerful one because we're going to be talking about operations, client service delivery. Some of the things you've been asking for already, and this may very well be the best place to start when it comes to developing your procedures and processes. We have the same download page as we did last week. So you've got it listed right there. And hopefully you've gotten two emails so far that share this download link. If you need CPE, please stay on the line for at least 50 minutes from the top of the hour or whenever you logged in, whichever is later, and answer 3 out of the 4 polling questions that we have for you. You can go ahead and get last week's CPE by going to this link, looking for your webinar date and clicking on the link there, and then entering your email, clicking submit, and you can use the print function on your browser to get your copy or to save it as a PDF. All right, so the first two sessions, CPE is ready, and then by the end of this week, the CPE will be ready for these two sessions today and tomorrow. We're going to talk about, again, some of the forms. Actually, this is not correct. We're going to talk about client delivery today, and then we're also going to talk about some basic process information, where to start, how to start making these your own. And then any questions that you have throughout the session today, please feel free to type them in the question box and we'll get to them as soon as we can. So somebody's already asked for a price increase letter. So let's go take a look at what we have. And I'll just share very quickly, the download page is here. And you can see that you've got, I'll go ahead and type this in the box for everybody. And then the password is practice. But hopefully everybody knows this already. Perfect 12. Okay, and you can see that you've got 4 tabs. So on Tuesday of last week, we covered the marketing and sales documents. And Wednesday of last week, we covered the client onboarding documents. Today, we're going to cover the client service delivery documents. And tomorrow we'll cover the executive admin documents, and you see how many there are. We're probably not going to go over or get to all of them. But it, again, today there's a fewer number of client service delivery, but they really pack a punch. So, and some of them are super long. So let's start by going through these first ones. This price increase letter is somewhere here. I preloaded all of them. Hopefully it'll save a little bit of time. All right, so how many of you would love to increase your prices? This is mostly talking about, actually you could use this for either package pricing or hourly rate increase if you want. And the format that I have, and again, probably check with an attorney on a lot of these, but the formula I have is just to, you know, express gratitude, you know, thank you for your past business or whatever, or hopefully continued, and then you can just change that to accounting business. And then, you know, to reflect changes, I need to make an adjustment. And then if you haven't done a price increase in a while, you can make this statement. If not, they will expect it. If you go up every year, which is what the recommendation is, every year or 2 years, then they'll kind of expect it at this point. And then tell them, you know, what you've done in the last year to deserve a raise, right? So, you know, you've maintained your certifications, you've maintained your CPE requirement, you know, whatever that they don't realize that you do, you know, that's part of your overhead and then part of your training and, you know, credibility building to them. And then tell them what's not changing, because probably not every service line you have, you know, maybe their payroll rates are not changing, but your bookkeeping rates are. So then give them the what it is exactly and spell that out. And then, you know, tell them why you think, you know, where you think you are and why you think you're still delivering value to them. And then thank them again. So you open and close with gratitude. And we've used this format with clients for about 8 years now. And I recommend that if you're afraid about this, just to send it to a few clients at a time. And that'll help reduce risk of attrition, or, you know, if you worded something not quite right, you'll find out before you send it to the entire client base. But we found that it works really well. So cut and paste this, put this on your letterhead, and, you know, price, you know, increasing your prices. I teach marketing. That is absolutely the best way to grow revenue without working harder. So use that. Disengagement letter is next. How many of you have clients that, you know, you really don't want to, you really don't want to, you know, keep anymore for whatever reason? We're going to be actually talking about this topic Thursday in my Accounting Biz Talk, which is a free webinar we give every Thursday. So let me just digress for a minute. For those of you who have problem clients, that's going to be the topic this Thursday, and you can sign up for that here at accountingbiztalk.com. I'll paste that in. That's actually free. We do a webinar on some topic that's relevant to practice management and accountants every Thursday. So you're welcome to jump in on that, you know, anytime you want. We're here for you every Thursday, but it's especially relevant to, you know, if you need to disengage a client. That's really scary. It's, you know, I don't think it's quite as bad as firing an employee. That's like the worst ever. That is like the thing that just really drains my energy, is having to deal with an employee. But and luckily I've only had to do it like a couple times in my life. But, you know, you guys might have clients, and this is not it. So let me close out and find the disengagement letter. And again, you need to consult with an attorney. Keep it short and sweet. This is actually a longer version. But basically, you just kind of have to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then, you know, don't tell them why, you know. I can definitely tell you for sure that your attorney will never recommend that you spell out why you're firing this client, right? Because that could be subject to a lawsuit. So whereas you probably want to vent, you probably want to explain, you have to just keep that to yourself. You know, it's, you know, we're firing you because you don't pay on time, or we're firing you because you complain too much. That's not what you want to say to the client. So this is a disengagement letter for those of you that need it. And, you know, honestly, some firms, you know, rank their clients A, B, and C every year, and they fire or look at whether they need to fire the C client. So this is something that you can use for that. And a couple questions are coming in. So let me just stop for a second and take care of that. Bear with me. I have to move my windows around so that I can. Sharon's asking, do you recommend mailing letters or email? I actually recommend a phone call saying, I recommend you start dropping breadcrumb hints 2 to 3 months ahead of a price increase, and just, well, maybe not, you know. I've mailed them in the past, Sharon, I've mailed them, but it's been like a couple of, it's been like probably 10 years since I've done a price increase letter. Sharon says, what do you think is a reasonable time frame or time spent working with the new firm? And Renee's asking, should you recommend another accounting firm? That's kind of up to you. A lot of times CPAs will, you know, talk with each other. A lot of times when CPAs are getting a new client, they'll call the former CPA and find out what the issue is. And, you know, so I can't really comment on that from a legal standpoint. I think that has to be a decision that, you know, you make related to your firm and what you want to do with a particular client. I've had hosting clients that I've wanted to fire, that I have actually fired for various reasons. They don't pay on time, or they're really technologically require a lot of additional handholding. And a lot of times I'm fine with that, but just for one reason or another, you know, the annual clients that are paying me a really small fee, it's really almost, you know, we're just doing it for a favor more than anything. And in that case, what I've done with the really high maintenance ones and the ones I don't want to work with is I've moved them to another host that's, you know, more automated, that's, you know, like a GoDaddy. I mean, I would never recommend GoDaddy, but just one that's well known. So in the hosting community, I would just move them over. But that's a little bit different than your situation, where it's a little bit more personal of a service that you guys are providing. Scott suggests recommend a competitor to slow them down, but, you know, okay, that's, you know, okay, I'm working on a women's PowerPoint, so maybe that's where my brain is going, but I think most of the women on the call would disagree with you doing that, and maybe some of the men. Kathy says, when we are vetting a new client, is it okay to ask them the name of their current bookkeeper and contact information? Absolutely, it's standard in the CPA community to do that. All right, let's keep going. Project management templates. Let's take a look at those. You guys probably see it faster than I do. All right, so this is where the real gold is here. And what I need you to do, probably what you're going to want to do, is move this from Word to Excel and, you know, make each one of these a cell. And then you might want to assign people and put hourly estimated time, you know, with it. But this is basically, these are basically the steps that you would go through to do a tax return. And you may also, you may have your own checklist. So what you may want to do is compare this to our checklist and see if there's anything that needs to be added, or if it's too much detail you can delete. And there could be many more things, because I've never done taxes for other people for any practical purposes. I mean, maybe half a dozen in my life. So bottom line is, I don't have a clue what you guys do. So there may be some things that you need to update and add in terms of what you do and what your software does. Now, when you start to map this out, you can see how much of it, you know, can be delegated to, you know, up to the first dozen tasks almost. Well, maybe not writing the engagement letter, but, you know, at least maybe this much could be delegated to an admin person, freeing up time for you to do the more complex and more interesting puzzles. All right, so think about that when you start to automate and create processes around this. You're able to delegate portions of this, you know, even if you just delegate this much, it's going to help you in tax time, right? All right, so all of that kind of thing, you know, is what I encourage you to kind of bring into your own business and make it your own. Now, here's one for payroll. All right, so this is all in the PM templates file. So tax, payroll, you know, set up, and maybe you've got a system that onboards the employees could be self-serve. I hope you do. But if not, you know, there's some, you know, other, I mean, these are just things, right, that, you know, you can look at and make it your own. Here's bookkeeping. All the way from, you know, getting the order. We don't talk about the sales process, but from the start of when you get the order, all the things you need to do to get paid and to serve the client, all right, are here. And then here's some client specific for those of you that do controller or fiduciary work. Then you've got these things here. All right, and I didn't, I'm just kind of getting you started so that you can see and get kind of the flow of this and the tempo or whatever of this so that you can get started and do everything yourself. Now, I recommend that you take portions of this and make a shell for all of your clients. So your clients have a lot of things in common, especially the monthly bookkeeping is what I'm primarily talking about. And then you can create like a client shell for that. And then as a new client comes in, you can take the shell and add the weird things, you know, the things that you have to do that are peculiar to that particular client. Okay. And then reporting again, just, you know, a lot of things I won't go over because we'll run out of time. But here's setup in terms of setting up an entity on like a QuickBooks, for example. And so those are the ones I've covered in terms of all the different things. All right. Okay, so that's that one. Getting back to our PowerPoint, let's do a polling question. How many monthly bookkeeping clients do you have? I'll keep that open for a little less than a minute. Okay, most of you have voted, so I will go ahead and, all right, so most of you, or a little over a third of you have 11 to 25, a third of you have less than 10 or less, a few of you don't have any clients, so you're just starting out, or maybe you're in industry, 25 to 50 have 15%, and then 4% of you have larger businesses. Okay, so that's good to know. And let's go over the systems checklist now. Okay, so this, what we've tried to do is provide you with, these are all the forms, templates, and samples and checklists that you could actually use in your business. So we've listed a lot of them out, and we've included a lot of them in this course, not all of them. Some of them are so specific, like facilities. Where is that? Emergency preparedness. We really, I don't know how we could do that for you. Although there are things that you can get. There are things you can purchase, but that has to be filled in. All right. So anyway, you can see that we've included a few of these, like the client intake document and the thank you letter, and something to get you started on your procedures. All right, and then we're going to go over email draft in just a minute. So we've included some of these for you, not all of them. But this is kind of a checklist of all the things, of all the processes that you could create. So I'm not going to really go over that in any detail. That's just something you can use on your own. All right. And then here's some more procedure samples. And this is only for the purpose of, let me see, I did not see that. So this finished. I think we're going to have to go to my little list here and see what that is. I don't think that's the name of it. So let me get to, oh yeah, there it is right there. Let me just download that from here and then that way we'll have it right now. Okay, so this one is really detailed. This is something you could delegate to staff. So here's how to memorize a sales receipt, all right? And then you have keystroke by keystroke, all right? Here's how to create a job, of course, that's in QuickBooks, with a to-do reminder, and this is old. I'm not sure they even have these anymore, all right? Okay, and then we have some others here that is not relevant, but I'll just show you, these are really kind of the procedures that we developed for ourselves, and that phone number is not relevant, and that's a really old logo, but you can get the idea of what I wrote down, and then the way I did it for my staff. So why do we use FileZilla? All right. Here's what it is, and here's the technical term, and here's what you can do with that, and here's what we'll use it for. Here's the basics in terms of the description, and then here are the steps that you need to do to follow. All right. And so on and so forth. All right. And here's the way we set up a new site, not anymore, but here's the way we did it 5 years ago. All right, so you can kind of see we've developed a whole document around doing this one thing. Yeah, you don't need to know what FileZilla is. It's actually FTP. We move files from our local computers to our web host server. So it's a file moving from one server to another. It's something that most of you guys won't need because it's mostly for webmasters. So don't worry about, but just look at the format, not the exact details, all right? So that just gives you a sample of what you might create in different areas. And this is what I'm suggesting that you kind of start with. The millennials will want to know why, right? So that's the big thing, you know, why you would put a why in here. The millennials really like to understand that. Okay, so Meredith is asking, what CRM scheduling software do I personally use? Actually, I use Infusionsoft, but we don't consider it right for accounting firms. All right. Okay, so that's that. So that should give you some ideas about what these procedures look like, how they need to be developed. Certainly, we could cut cookbook quite a few for QuickBooks. And for a while there in Accountants Accelerator program, we had people that were sharing things, going back and forth. I'd love to get that going again. And so we haven't done that for a couple of years, but I would love to get that going again for those of you who are interested. You know, someone might develop a procedure in AR and then the other one develop a procedure in AP, and then you guys could swap, and then it would save you time overall for developing that stuff as long as you're using similar procedures and similar software. Let's go take a look at the email drafts. And these are things that your clients would ask you 8 million times, okay? So how many of you guys have clients that ask you things 8 million times? What is that question that you get? Renee's asking, where are the PowerPoint slides? So that's exactly that's the question I get 8 million times. If you scroll right up above these tabs, it's right here, okay? Renee, it's on the same download page, okay? And I just pasted that in the chat, so you should have it. I'll do it again, just anyway. Yeah, so, right. All right, so what are your guys, so type in the question box, what are your guys' questions? I know sometimes they're pain in the necks, but you know, everybody's different. They all, you know, we all need things at different times. Okay, everybody's scared to type to ask me a question now. All right, so what are your questions? Everybody's, I guess, looking through all these. How do I log into QuickBooks Online? Actually, I think that may have changed. Again, these are a year too old, but you'll have to make them yours anyway, and you're gonna have to go through these, all right? Marilyn's question is, how do I reapply a payment to a different project, same customer? Deborah says, I haven't gotten my refund. Mara just says, can you do me a favor? Oh, and I need it 5 seconds ago. All right, so how do I set up a Chrome user for QBO? That should be a big one. If you guys are not using different users in QBO, you really should be. In Chrome, by the way, it is such a huge, this is probably one of the best. Matter of fact, I need to make a note so I can add this to one of my PowerPoints I'm working on. But I have a whole tab just for my volunteer stuff, and I have a whole tab for QBO. These are where you develop your Chrome users. Anyway, that's, I guess, maybe a technology tip more than a PM toolbox tip. But so anyway, you may pick up some tips from this if you're not already. And then I've got more. How do I log into the client portal? Of course, that's going to vary based on the portal that you use. So that's why I didn't do it. How do I log into my cloud hosts? How do I log into my payroll? How can I set up an appointment with you, and will it cost me if I do? Can I sign your engagement letter digitally? How do I send you my tax documents? You know, all of these things should be filled out and either in a video, each one, or it could be on your website, or you could give them this page when they first become a client, right? And then that way you can hopefully it should reduce customer service. You're still going to have people that don't, you know, read their emails or don't receive them, right? So we send you guys 2 emails last week, and I think, you know, the open rate is only 60%. So there's 40% of you that for some reason didn't get the email, it went into spam, or you didn't open it, or you thought it was marketing, or one way or the other, but 60% of you follow directions, and that'll save me on customer service, right? So same thing with you guys having these email, well, I call them email drafts, because what'll happen is you'll get them in, and I'll just go into my email here for a minute. And if you look into my drafts folder, I don't have a lot of them right now, but for example, with all the websites, we write bios, write your bios included At no extra charge. And so I just cut and paste this into an email that goes out to the people and say, here's what I need. Here's questions and things I need in order to write your bio for your about page. And so I paste that in and I keep it in my drafts folder of my email. And that's another thing that you can do with these procedures. Okay. So you can post it on your website. You can include it in your client welcome kit, and you can paste it in your email draft folders so that so that you can quickly cut and paste the answer, and you're saving time not having to re-answer it, the same question over and over again. What's your most frequently asked question? I didn't put the refund one there. I didn't really think about that, but I bet refund is the biggest one for many of you. Veronica says, status of my account. What's the status of my account? Okay, if you need CPE, jump on in. Michelle says, can we reschedule? I know. So one thing for that is we have self-serve on this, on the reschedule thing. That's easily done with a calendaring app. Michael says, why did I get this IRS notice? That's actually a good question to have, right? That could generate additional revenue. Cheryl says it amazes her how many clients will not use the help menu in QuickBooks because they have you, Cheryl. Sharon asks, do you have a calendaring app that you love? Yeah, I use Schedule Once. I'll show you it in just a second. I think we have time. Okay. I don't remember how to do this. A third of you, how do I get documents to you? A little over a quarter. Not too many have login issues. 20%, I have a problem in QuickBooks. All right, cool. Okay, let's go to the data analysis checklist. You know, I'm gonna close a couple things here. I guess I can't. Can I? Okay, and before I do that, I'm going to go to if you look on any of our, I mean, you can see our WordPress thing up there, but see the schedule your free consult button? We have that on every single web page that we have, and you just click it, and then it's scheduleonce.com. And then you can have a sales appointment with Sharon, hopefully. And not too many people are brave enough to have a meeting with me for some reason. And you just self-serve, right? So you pick a day, and if you need to, you can reschedule it on your own. So all those emails about scheduling disappear because the client self-serves. And then when I have a client that emails me for a meeting, I just give them my personal link. This is the company link, but I just paste this in an email and give it to them and say, please feel free to set up a meeting. Scott says he's using Calendly. So that's another one. Okay, back to data analysis checklist. This is something before you work with a client. You're very welcome, Michelle. It is very cool. It saves me over $10,000 a year in a receptionist. I don't need to have an admin person. So it saves about more than $10,000 in admin time, just calendar scheduling. All right. So the data analysis checklist, for lack of a better word here, is things you might want to be asking the client throughout working with them, if not at the beginning. So these are some, you know, some of these are internal control, but some of these are like, you know, really standard, like, is there a balance in undeposited funds that needs to be cleaned up? When was the last recon? Whose signature is required on the check? So, you know, understand fiduciary issues. You know, and some of these may be a little, you know, are paper checks used? I think most people have gone to online bill pay at this point, but there's still, I'm sure, some clients out there that are doing paper stuff. So, and this is not comprehensive. So, you know, note that it's work in progress. Again, you need to make this your own, but there may be some things you are doing or are not doing. And this list will help you, you know, work better with the client. So it's things, these are things that could generate additional revenue for you, and so on and so forth. So again, work in progress. I don't think I fleshed out the chart of accounts section or the forms design, but you know, here's, you know, backup questions, questions about backups and stuff. All right. So use it for, you know, what it's worth. I think, you know, it's valuable in some areas. It may, some of these questions may need to be integrated in your sales cycle or your client procedures shell, you know, whatever works for you guys. All right, and I think this is the last one, requirements gathering. So this one is, you know, more for getting them on the right software. And again, it's just like, for example, payroll. It's so simple to do payroll. How many employees? How often are they paid? How many states? You know, from that, I think 99% of you can come up with a figure. All right, those are the bigger questions. But there may be some others, like wage garnishment. Is there a 401k? I don't know if that's even here. What health insurance reporting, workers' comp job allocation. There may be some others. Do there need a timesheet? Does it handle all this other stuff? So being more comprehensive, you know, might help help you figure out exactly, you know, what are some issues with payroll that might come up, and, you know, making sure that you get them on a system that will handle everything that they need related to payroll requirements. That's why I call it requirements gathering. You're asking about and gathering the client software requirements so that you can get them in the right system. All right. So here's just more, you know, things in various, you know, for example, cash bank, are bank feeds available? Does the software have a register? You know, most of you are going to use QuickBooks, but in case you've got a client that doesn't fit that, you may have some additional questions on that. All right. And then certainly inventory is one where you've got to get them in the right product. If they've got assembly or lot number tracking or recall requirements, then, you know, you're looking at enterprise solutions and larger inventory systems or an add-on. Okay. Sales tax is another area where, you know, there's issues that you want to ask about, and then there's could be some privacy. Well, privacy, if you're dealing with medical clients, is the software HIPAA compliant? If you're dealing with government, is it DCAA compliant? So on and so forth. Don't worry about if you don't know about those things, but this is just a list for you to think about when you're getting clients in the right software. Okay, so let's spend the rest of the time talking about procedures in general. All right, any questions about anything that we've provided for you document-wise, just feel free to type in the question box. So what can be proceduralized? Well, things that you see over and over again. Certainly, the specific solution to cleaning up undeposited funds is not all that cookbookable, but you can put things in categories and have people look for certain things, and that can be cookbooked. All right. Now, harder problems, you know, might require experience. So again, you're going to have to think about how your brain processes things and write those steps down, you know, so building a judgment factor into the procedures that you develop. Now, I wouldn't bother doing that until you've got some of the easy peasy stuff done, because the more you delegate the easy peasy stuff, the more profit you're going to have, because you'll be able to work with a lower paid person to do these things, and it'll free you up to bill more and to do more complex projects for clients. Now, if you require expert, you know, and it's a completely unique and you can't find a way to cookbook it, then that's something that can't be proceduralized, at least not easily. All right. So again, start with the lowest level task, because this is definitely where you're going to get the highest ROI, the highest profitability for your buck. So it's going to be things that are administrative, data entry, things you do over and over again that, you know, burns you out. That's why you really need to delegate these things. If you're burning out, that's the reason, is you got to let go of some of this lower level stuff so that you can do the higher level stuff. Some reconciliations can be delegated. Some are easy enough. Some setups can even be delegated. And then you can go in and do a review step, for example. And then some corrections and journal entries can be pretty easily cookbooked. Integrations, not so much. Conversions are a little bit harder. But once you create a plan for that, you may be able to delegate some of that, including some of the basic training. Let's do another polling question. Where will you start implementing on all of these forms? So far we've done, you haven't seen the executive admin one. But what is your area where you think you might get the biggest bang for your buck? Any other questions, or are you guys just kind of looking through all the documents? Everybody's got real quiet. Okay, let's go ahead and see what everybody said. 40% are going to do the client onboarding, and nearly a quarter are going to do marketing, followed by client service delivery. And then, of course, we haven't given you the executive admin ones yet, so that was kind of not fair. But, you know, I have to think of these polling questions. I have to think up hundreds of polling questions every month. Anyway, welcome to my world. All right, so one of the really cool things you can do is delegate these things to an employee, including developing procedures. If they're at a particular level, the thing that's good about them is they have fresh eyes, and they can help you do procedures that might work better since it's at their level and not at yours, and you take things for granted. You might, anyway. Definitely want to run it by your employees at the very least, and then they may have ideas about correcting it. All right. So if you're overwhelmed with the whole idea of, you know, developing these procedures, think about who you can delegate them to. An admin might be able to help you, but I don't know that that's going to be the most cost-effective choice. All right. It might be for some of you, have a big enough, scalable enough business. Okay. Okay, very good. I'm just reading your comments. All right. How many of you guys hate writing? If you're not good at writing or typing up these procedures, but you're good at training employees and you're going to sit down and train employees, you might want to record the training session and then get a transcriptionist to transcribe it into a Word document that you can then edit or have someone edit it into procedures. So do what works for you in terms of the fastest, best learning curve and what you're comfortable with in terms of teaching and writing this stuff down. I've written rev.com down here because that is a company that will actually take an audio file and transcribe it. I think they charge $1 a minute. And then you get it back, you just go into your account and you can download the transcribed document. And they're pretty good. It's a lot of it's automated, but they have a real person that goes over it. So it's pretty decent. I would recommend them. Okay, and the big thing for the ROI with this is, what are you doing over and over again? Turn it into a procedure or a form or a template, whatever, and just do one a week. You know, don't stress yourself out over this, over doing all of this, because again, it takes about, you know, 3 years, because you guys have client work too. But I, you know, in my opinion, and then it's constant because you're constantly improving, technologies are changing, QuickBooks Online is updating every 6 weeks now. And so your procedures are going to go where they need to be corrected. And then that, you know, so that is something that you're going to need to kind of revisit at least once a quarter ongoingly. All right. And this is the really, really crazy exciting part, is once you've gotten all this stuff down, you can start to improve it. Because remember how we used to do a check? You know, we used to write a check manually. You know, we used to have check stock printed, and then we'd have to lock it up in the file cabinet, and then we would do a check number, you know, missing check number report. And those were the old days. Moving that all to online bill pay, and then even streamlining the online bill pay process, can be something that, you know, once we see how cumbersome the process is that we've written down, we can figure out where we need to make improvements. Let's do our final polling question. You got any clients that are using outdated processes? Okay, more than two-thirds of you have, no, about a third of you have more than two-thirds of clients that are using outdated, and that means half of you have, because 15% of you have all of them, a quarter of you have more than a third of clients that are using outdated, 19% of you have less than a third. So see, you can really help them in this area. You can help yourself first. It's like put on your oxygen mask first and then go out and put, you know, put the oxygen mask on your clients and help them. It'll actually help them go to the next level in their business. I mean, this is truly a game changer. Once you've got this in place, your business is more saleable. There's some huge benefits to this. Continuing on with, you know, clients manually writing checks, you know, and the way to sell it the change to them, because everybody, loves change, right? How long does it take? then, how much time are they spending having to do writing checks? And then how much time can you save them to where they can work on other areas of their business? So that's the conversation starter. And again, what happens to the source stock? Can you have them take a picture? I mean, I don't go to the bank anymore. I take a picture of my deposits, and I don't have that many checks to deposit because almost everything comes credit card, which has just been really handy, except for the merchant reconciliation, which is a bear. But anyway, it's changed. I used to have a lot of checks, and I used to have to walk to the bank or drive to the bank. All right, so these are the things that you ask yourself in terms of improving client processes. And this is going to get you a lot of revenue work, additional service work, because this is non-tax season work. Helping a client improve their processes, you can generate revenue in the summer and the fall when taxes are slow, or at least the summer and the winter when taxes are slow. Okay. And then you might even get to know systems like ScanWriter or ReceiptBank or HubDoc, Transaction Pro Importer, all those things that allow you to do the data entry faster and more automated for a client. And then see, this is where it gets super exciting, is you've written down this process that's horrible, and now you figure out all the ways that you can help the client. And these are the areas: duplicate data entry or manual data entry, I should add as well at this point. Systems that are not integrated. If their point of sale and their back office doesn't integrate, or if their inventory and their other doesn't integrate, what extra processes do they have to go through, like hosted desktop or just desktop, with no. Not in the cloud at all. You're having to do that stupid backup file, and you're having to do restores, which is like, to me, it's almost like so 20th century at this point. If you've got a bookkeeper on their staff that's really slow, that's a training opportunity. And I just threw this in there for fun. In 1980, my claim to fame was. There was a four-part form, and nobody was using the fourth part. And I actually saved my company $100,000 just by removing the fourth part. Now that's really, archaic example, but you can think of all the things that you can do for your business, and it could potentially save them a lot of money. All right, so Kathy says the outdated people don't want to change. Some we can't even get to use email. Are you kidding me? Wow, that's crazy. But have you sat down side by side with them, Kathy, and showed them what the possibilities are? Because a lot of times it's fear of the unknown that we have to get over. And not necessarily their desire for change. They may just feel like they might be stupid at the new method, and nobody wants to feel stupid in front of another person. So sometimes once you get over that fear, you can really start to make some really great progress with clients. Renee says, what about the client who says we've been doing it this way for 25 years and it works for us? Well, hopefully there's no one like that on the line because you obviously wanted to improve your business. So I mean, some of the things I mentioned to Kathy, but you're right. If they're just kind of waiting out their retirement and they don't want to improve their business, then competition is probably going to take care of them. But if it's not, and they have a pretty strong client base, then if the younger generation is involved, you've got some leverage there. So I would just look for leverage and resources that might help you sway their opinion. And then if not, you're going to have enough clients keep you busy with improvements, right? So, or, if not, you can get some new clients that are interested in improving their business. So only the ones that are super close to retirement are going to have that attitude. Otherwise, they don't trust you. So it could be a trust factor there as well. All right. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap it up, and then we're going to meet back tomorrow, and that'll be our final session for this course. Less time to enter questions. So go ahead and type in, what are you going to do? What one thing are you going to do from this webinar? Kathy says we didn't accept this one client, but he still uses a typewriter and carbon paper to do his invoicing. I love it. That I haven't seen. I have seen systems that date back to the 90s, but I think that's probably pretty mild compared to what you guys see. All right, so Meredith says, my admin person and I are going to sit down, review the templates, and start working on them. Deborah says she's going to work on her firm's processes and price increase letters with her tax checklist and organizer. Cheryl's going to continue on her procedures. Renee didn't know they still have typewriters. You know, I had to do my W-2s that way for a long time, so you could rent them at this. You used to be able to rent them at the FedEx store, but you can't do that anymore. Lori says she needs an admin that can help her. Yeah, I feel ya. I don't know what to do about that. Kim says she's going to update her client procedures. Kathy says we are always updating and adding to our procedures. It's wonderful having procedures in place. It's freeing, isn't it? Kathy's going to work on the price increase letter and update her quoting questionnaire. And she listed several things and said, oh, wait, just one. Meredith says, Lori can't have my admin person. I love my Janet. Kathy says, how if you have a class on hiring an admin? Okay, I'll do that on a Thursday, Kathy. Join Accounting Biz Talk and remind me, okay? Larry, we'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow because we've got some interview questions. Larry's going to review his admin procedures to outsource to his teen daughter. There you go. She's very conscientious and doesn't like to babysit. Ray says, I'm very interested in implementing bill automation software. Good. All right, Reslyn's going to focus on marketing planning and job descriptions. Reslyn, we're going to cover job descriptions tomorrow. Claire's going to delegate and have a staff person to type processes. Okay, Lori, let me just get that again. So everybody go to Accounting Biz Talk. And every Thursday, we have free CPE for you in addition to the regular courses that we're running. We're not going to talk about pricing issues. That's, you know, I've got a course coming up in December for that, but we are going to talk about, you know, just various things, some things that I see people doing wrong mostly. but this time Thursday, we're going to talk about employees. And so if you want to talk about hiring, I'm good for, because we're not going to have a course on that next year. So I'm open to talking about anything we're not going to have a course on next year. And by the way, if you guys want to, we did just update the 2018 schedule for Accountants Accelerator. You should have gotten an email from me. For those of you that are current all-you-can-eat members or library members, there is a discount. But if you go to events and go to all 2018 courses, you'll see our schedule. I'm pretty jazzed about it because it's all new. All right, so take a look at that as well, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. All right, bye, everybody.